Number 190. Everybody slide their mask down just a little bit and sing loud.
Amen.
I just thought so much. Just
There's so many little things that we overlook, we don't think about, it's a part of our daily lives. It's all because God's in control.
Amen.
I can't remember if I said anything to you all about this or not, but one of my yearly visits to the doctor, he wanted to do an EKG one year, and there was he was showing it to me, and talking to him, said, "Gene, God, looks like your heart's in pretty good shape." You see them little marks where it goes up and down. And I asked him, I said, Dr. Austin at the time, Joe Austin. And I said, "No, that big one's where my heart is." I said, what's them other ones? So he explained to me. He said, "Now this one right here, Gene, right there in front of it," he said, "that's electrical impulse that comes from your brain, travels through nerves, and goes to your heart, tells your heart to beat." So I thought, you know, we've heard the expression, we're just a heartbeat away from glory.
That's right.
But now think with me just a little bit here.
Bless you, bro.
We're just one spark of a heartbeat away from glory. And how many times a day does that spark travel from your brain to your heart? You know, I thought about that so much. But I'd like, with the Lord's help, and I'd like to share some scripture with you in 2 Timothy chapter 2. We'll begin with verse 20. "But in a great house there are not only vessels of gold and of silver, but also of wood and of earth, and some to honor and some to dishonor." And I've shared this before in the past different places and got to think about this. And when Buford read this, the Lord showed me some other things in it that I'd like to share with you. And I've shared in the past of how in our home, Pat's got a cabinet in the corner, you know, one of the china cabinets. And she's got a set of dishes in there that her mom got for her. And as far as I know, we've never used them. As far as I know, they've never been used. They're pretty. They're pretty, and they look good in that cabinet, you know. And they're pleasing to look at, but they never get used. And I thought, you know, then we've got our everyday dishes, and they get used some. You know, and some of us to honor, and some of us to dishonor. But I got to thinking about those, the wood and the earth. You know, to me, I mean, if you had vessels of gold and silver, you're not gonna want to damage them or make them tarnish. You want to keep them shiny, so you're going to put them up on a shelf, ain't you? So you want to keep them looking good. But the wood and the earth, that's the ones that get used, ain't it? And I got to thinking about this spiritually. And I feel like the least, really, of God's wooden vessel or earthen vessel. But I want to be used by Him.
Yeah.
I want Him to use me. to be a vessel to Him, to honor.
Amen.
But I got to thinking about these vessels. You know, the ones that you use, they have a tendency to get banged up, scratch and everything, and have to be washed every once in a while. And I thought, you know, when God uses us and we let Him use us, there's going to be some bangs and there's going to be some scrapes and there's going to be some scratches. We're going to get dented up a little bit. And I'll be honest with you, I've had to be washed a few times.
Amen.
I just had to go back to the altar and let God wash me. Clean, you know, get me back where I need to be. And I'm glad that He loves me enough to do that.
Yeah.
But I got, and that's what the Lord showed me. Sometimes we get banged up a little bit. But He also showed me this. If you, I'm exceptionally blessed by the fact, and I'm going to, when I go home, I got supper ready, and our plates, you know, we get our plates and we sit down and eat, and I got to think about it. If you just put down one plate at a table,
bless you, brother.
Only one person can eat. If you put two plates down on the table or two cups, two people can eat, can't they? So the more plates and stuff that we put out to be able to get used, there's a possibility that they will get used.
Right.
And the more that other people can come in and enjoy that. So you know what my dream is? To see a big banquet table. A big old banquet table.
Amen.
Spread as far as the eye can see.
Amen.
And plates. We're plates. We're vessels. Sitting on that, ready to be used for whatever purpose the Lord might have for us.
Amen.
That's what I see. And I say this being place, this is the place where we can come, where people can come and reap the joy and the pleasures and the food and what God has to offer.
Amen.
And I just want us to be able to offer that to them.
Yes.
And I believe we have. We can, and I believe we will. I tell you what, I can't thank the Lord enough for allowing me and Pat to come this way. And I just want you to know you're a blessing to me.
You are too.
I appreciate it. And I want to see us prosper in the Lord.
Yeah, amen.
And, you know, I would love it if y'all could be rich, if that's what you want. But I don't care anything about being rich anymore. I know. I don't care anything about that.
Be rich, the Lord.
Amen to that. I want to be abounding in His riches. Because His riches, you know, a lot of times if you have a lot of money or everything, you'll want to keep it all. You won't want to give it away. You want to hoard it up. The riches from God, I want to give away. I want to share them. So I appreciate you all's attention and hope we've helped you and encourage you.
Bless you, brother.
This evening. And, just want to tell you again, I love you. Appreciate you. So I want to turn it over to Brother Paul.
Does anybody got a song or anything tonight? Kevin, you and Jungin sing Little People. Well, I could. Bless you, Jim.
God's little people, we got a lot of wisdom.
Amen.
Oh, dear God, little people, we got light, we're gonna let it shine. Yes, we're God's little people. God's little people are like big people sometimes. Yes, God's little people are like big people sometimes.
Amen. Begging the Lord. Anything else tonight?
I got one I gotta try.
Bless you, Pat.
I don't know if I even get the right tune of it, but I just want to do what the Lord has had me do.
Amen. Bless your Lord.
Somebody touch me. Glory, glory, glory. Somebody touch me. Glory, glory, glory. Somebody touch me. Blessed have been the hand of the Lord. It was on a Monday. Somebody touch me.
Praise the Lord for that. And I appreciate the Lord tonight. Appreciate everybody being here. And turn your Bibles over to the book of Hebrews tonight. And you pray for me tonight that God would help us and anoint us and put us behind the cross. Give us that we need. You'll find what I want to look at in Hebrews chapter number 11. I want to read one verse, but I want to go to Genesis for my text tonight and get something on your mind, and you'll see what I'm talking about after I read this. But in Hebrews chapter number 11, verse number 7, Hebrews 11 and 7, the Bible said, by faith, Noah, being warned of God of things not yet seen as yet, moved with fear, prepared an ark to the saving of his house, by the which he condemned the world and became heir of the righteousness which is by faith. You may be seated tonight. And we all know tonight that faith is the substance of things hoped for, and evidence of things not seen. Faith is believing in something that you can't see. We was talking to Bill the other day about Calvary. I wasn't there. I didn't see it, but I believe it. When the angels rolled the stone away from the tomb, and they went in there to find the body of Christ, he wasn't there. He had risen from the dead. I wasn't there, but I believed it.
Amen.
I believe that one day there was a woman, her name was Mary. The Bible said she found grace in the eyes of God. And that Mary that I'm talking about is the earthly mother of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, whom had never been with a man, but the Bible said she was conceived of the Holy Ghost. And that's kind of a reminder of me tonight. When I received the Lord, when he came into my heart and came into my life, I tell you how he got there. He got there by the Holy Ghost. I mean, the Holy Ghost, through the preaching of the Word of God, convicted me and began to draw me. And I began to believe God. I began to trust in God. The Bible said in Hebrews 11, the Bible said, and Noah moved with fear of things not yet seen. He prepared an ark for the saving of his family, and he became a man of righteousness. Noah was a righteous man. I believe he preached for years about the destruction that was coming. He didn't understand all of it, and I don't believe you have to understand all of it, but I know there's an end out there. I know that there's the destruction's on the way. And God told Noah yonder, brother, after the Bible said that after it rained 150 days and the ark and the water moved the ark up off of the ground and destroyed everything, brother, on the planet except those that were in the ark. We know it as Noah's ark. And the Bible said Noah, he moved with fear of things not yet seen, and moving with fear, brother, he began to work on an ark. He began to prepare an ark for the saving of his family. There's a lot of controversy over about how long Noah worked on it, but I do know one thing. Noah was 600 years old when the flood came. He was an old man, so I mean, I don't know how long. As I've heard over my life, I've heard 120 years, I've heard 90 years, but I'm going to say it like this tonight. However long you've got to work on the ark for the saving of your family is up to you. So you've got to reverence God and believe God and move with honor and move with a godly fear that no know. It's a picture of the fire that's to come. But I want you to look here tonight. Just I'm going to kind of do a flyover tonight here in Revelation chapter number 4. I want to read one verse of scripture in Revelation chapter number 4. We know the Revelation. It's not revelations, it's revelation. It's the revelation of Jesus Christ. But in chapter number 4, verse number 1 says, he says, and after this, now this is after the seven letters, not the seven letters, but the angel that came to the seven churches there and began to tell them what they were doing good and what they needed to work on. But after this, the Bible said in chapter 4, verse 1, said, and he said, and after this I looked, and behold, a door was opened in heaven. He said, and the first voice which I heard was as it were a trumpet talking with me, and said, come up hither, and I'll show you things which must be hereafter. Now think about this tonight. You think about that door being opened in heaven tonight, and John said when that door was opened, he said he heard a voice that said, come up hither, and I'm going to show you some things that must come hereafter. We know here tonight the book of the Revelation, he begins to tell about the churches and the destruction that's on the way. But I'm glad one day I got in church and I begin to hear the voice of God saying, come up hither, and I'm going to show you some things that will come hereafter. Just like Noah did yonder in the book of Hebrews. Noah moved with fear of things not yet seen, but preparing an ark for the saving of his family. Notice tonight, and keep in mind that John said, and he said, and I saw a door opened in heaven. And brethren, when he saw that door opened in heaven, he began to see, and when he seen that door that was opened in heaven, he began to hear. What did he hear? He said he heard a voice which heard as it were a trumpet talking with me. What did God tell the old prophet? He said, lift up your voice like a trumpet and cry loud and spare not. Paul told Timothy, preach the word. Be instant in season and out of season. Reprove and rebuke with all long suffering and doctrine, for the time will come when they would endure sound doctrine, but heap to themselves itching ears. What is he saying here? When Noah began to move with fear of things not yet seen, and when we are, we come to the house of God and heaven opens up for us, and we begin to hear that trumpet blow, we need to prepare the ark for the saving of our family, because, beloved, judgment must first begin in the house of God. But there's going to be a judgment one day where every knee will bow and every tongue will confess to God the Father that he is the Son of God. And for I believe, like Buford said, even those that pierced his side, brother, on resurrection morning, we'll all stand before God and give an account for the deeds done in the body, whether good or whether bad. And I tell you, the greatest reward that I'm looking for is to hear him say, enter in, thou good and faithful servant. I know he worked on an ark for a long time, no doubt. But he'd get out there, it had never rained. God had watered the earth from the ground. That's what he says. But God told Noah to tell him that rain was on the way. There's going to be something going to happen here. God made man and his likeness and his image. And he looked down one day, and the Bible said it grieved God because of the shape that man had got in, because they were wicked continually upon their hearts. So God told Noah, he said, Noah, build a boat, build an ark. And he said, when the flood comes, you'll be in it, you'll be all right, and you'll be saved. So let's look back here tonight in the book of Genesis here for just a minute. And let's look in Genesis 7. I remember what God said in Revelation. He said, and John said, and I saw heaven open up, and he saw a door. I mean, I'm saying tonight, guys, when heaven opens up to us, we got to realize Jesus is the door into the sheepfold, and there's no other way in it besides him. And so we believe tonight that we're going to move in reverence and in fear of believing that how in the world do we think tonight that this world can continue to stand in the shape that it's in. God said there the last day that there'd be a great falling away, that men would have a form of godliness but deny the power. What he's just saying is that you get in a place where you could go through the form, having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof. But when John saw the heavens open, he seen the door open. And when he seen the door open, he heard a trumpet. Said, come up here, I want to talk to you. I want to show you some things that must surely come to pass. But in Revelation, or in Genesis 7, let's look at verse number 7. The Bible said, in the 600th year of Noah's life, in the second month, the 17th day of the month, at the same day were all the fountains of the great deep broken up, and the windows of heaven were opened. So here's another time we see where the windows of heaven were opened up. But brother, this time it's a different story. But this is a different story this time when the windows of heaven were opened up. You remember yonder, brother, after Jesus came, and brother, and took his disciples yonder, brother, up on the mountain yonder, right before he went away, the Bible said, he blessed them and said, go ye all in all the world, teaching and telling men about the gospel, telling about what I've done. He said, and that them that have been saved and baptized in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost, and he began to bless his disciples. But the Bible said there was a cloud that received him up out of their sight. And brother, the angel stood there and said, why ye men of Galilee stand gazing in the sky or in the air? This same Jesus is going away again. There is going away, but he's coming again in like manner. I'm going to tell you tonight, beloved, the Bible said when the cloud received him up out of their sight, I can't explain all it. Paul said, I knew a man 14 years ago, whether in the body or out of the body, God knoweth, but then carried him up into that third heaven. I believe the heavens opened again, and the sun set down at the right hand of the Father. But I believe this tonight, brother, one day here, and I don't believe very long, brother, he's going to tell his son, hey, not even the son knoweth, the angels don't know, and nobody don't know, but I believe soon and very soon, he's going to get up off of the seat, and being seated in the right hand of the Father. He's going to do this like Timothy, Paul told the church at Thessalonica. He said, for the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, and the voice of an archangel, and the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first, and we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together to meet him in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. Wherefore, comfort one another with these words. But right here tonight, the Bible said, dead. I wouldn't know them. I move with fear of things not yet seen. I brother, preparing an ark for the saving of his family. But right here in 7:11 says, at a certain time, brother, when God said that's enough, that's all of it, it's over. The Bible said that brother, the fountains of heaven was opened up. And you know what happened? When the fountain of heaven opened up, it rained for 150 days upon the face of the earth, night and day. And brethren, and I'll tell you what happened. Let's look here in verse number 16 of the same chapter. And the Bible said, and they that went in, went in male and female of all flesh as God had commanded him, and the Lord shut him in. I'm saying tonight, boys and girls, men and women, when God, when Jesus Christ comes to take his bride, brother, when God shuts the door, they ain't no man can open it up. Just like Noah did when he got on that ark and his little family, what did the Bible say? God shut the door. And you think about this tonight. Day 10, day 20, day 30, 40, 50. Water began to rise up. And I know they laughed at him and mocked at him probably while he was building an ark. See, he moved in fear, believing God. God said, I've seen how in the mighty shape it's got on the earth. And I'm going to destroy every living thing upon the earth. And brother, when God told Noah and his family to get in that ark, and when they got in the ark, God shut them in. Amen. I want you to think about this tonight. Picture this. Here that ark is coming up off of the ground. Noah built that ark. God told him exactly how to build it. God told us exactly how to build it. Gene read it there. We are vessels that God uses. He describes it like this. We are the vessels that God uses. We are the vessel that houses the Holy Ghost. We are the ambassadors. We are the ones that represents another kingdom. We are the children of God. We are the people of God. And brother, I know the Bible said the preaching of the cross is foolishness unto them that perish. But unto us, it's our ark, it's our safety. A lot of people don't understand why you work at the 9-10 hours a day and you're tired and wore out. But you come down here and preach like it might be the last time you're ever going to get to preach. Why is that? Because tonight, guys, we've got to move with reverence and fear and believing that hell and destruction is out there and it's on its way. Fire's coming down. But by the grace of God, I want to be in the ark of safety. And when God shuts the door, ain't nobody getting in. Think about this tonight. Think about Noah working on that boat, on the ark. And think about when the floods came down, when the heaven was opened, and it rained upon the earth day after day after day after day after day after day, and that ark began to rise up off of the earth. And let's think about this tonight. The Bible don't say, but I'm thinking as a man. I'm thinking as a human. Do you not think tonight, don't care what they teach on television and everywhere else, God said it'd be just like it was in the days of Noah, just like it was in the days of Sodom and Gomorrah. God made male and female, created he them in his likeness and his image. And God took a rib out of Adam and made woman. I believe that's what God done. I don't don't care what they teach and what they tell. Let me tell you something tonight. I talked to a woman the other night and went to a prom in elementary school, and young girls are dancing together and are kissing around on one another. My God, tonight, beloved, what kind of shape are we in? We're like we was in the days of Noah, and they were eating and drinking and marrying and giving in marriage and all things like that. But I'll tell you one thing, buddy, when God shuts the door, there ain't nobody getting in. Amen. Think about this tonight. Think about watching that old man work on that boat year after year after year after year. Told him how long to build it, how wide to build it, how many stories to put in it. And he tell, I mean, every jot, heaven and earth will pass away, but my word, not one thing will pass away in here. I believe, brother, Jesus come and fulfilled what the law couldn't, because it was weak in the flesh, and he condemned the law in the flesh. God became man and dwelled among us, and brother, he made a way and showed us a way. But your Noah is in that ark out there. You think about mommy and daddy out there, and two or three young'uns, and four or five young'uns, and teenagers out in the field come running, beating on the side of that boat, saying, Noah, let us in. Noah, let us in. And some of them might have even said, Noah, don't let us in, but let our young'uns in. Don't destroy us. I tell you, guys, when God shuts the door, nobody's getting in. Right. Nobody's getting in. The Bible said when God, when he put them on, when he told them what to do, and they got on the ark, and God shut the door. God shuts a door and no man opens, and God opens a door that no man shuts. But I'm glad one day, praise God, I seen the heavens open, and I heard the trumpet a blowing, and I realized I was lost without God, in need of a Savior. And when I realized that, it was a reverence come over me, and a fear come over me, realizing fire and brimstone's coming down, and you better do as Noah did. Get everybody you can on board, because once the door's shut, it ain't going to be opened. Yeah. Now, what a lesson God give us right here. What a lesson God gives us. Noah is a hero in the book of Hebrews. Not only Noah, but there was men and women in the Bible, in the Rahab the harlot, that hid the people of God while they was on their way to the promised land, when they spied out the land and the enemy come. And brother, she hid them in the flats of the roof. And when God said go down there, when destruction was on the way, I tell you what happened. Rahab and them that was in her house, they survived. I don't care what they say out there, boys and girls, men and women, whoever's listening, you better get in while you can get in, and you better get in while the door's open, because when the door's shut, there'll be no hope. I told this, I'm going to tell it again. An older gentleman up in his 80s went to revival. Jason Nunley's up in Abingdon, Virginia. He come and come and come every night. Jason just assumed that he was saved. Meeting closed out, and there was an older lady who couldn't come. They went to her house, and there was a little college meeting going on at that house. They took church to her. She couldn't come. And Jason said, there that old man showed up again. He went out there and talked to him. He said, it's good to see you here, buddy. He said, what's going on? They didn't know nothing about him. He said, I'll tell you what happened. He said, God spoke to me years ago and I rejected him. I didn't pay no attention to him. I turned from him. I come to that revival yourself for over 2 weeks and God never did speak to me. And I come out here at this little cottage meeting, out here at this little old woman's house, I'm begging God to speak to me. Hey, the Bible said, and God said, I'll call and I'll call and I'll call, and they won't answer. He said, brother, he said, there'll be a day, and when they call on me, he said, I'll laugh at them and mock in their fear and their calamities. Why is that? Because nobody, hey, out there, backslider, ain't nobody wants to come to church no more. Nobody wants to come to the house of God. I tell you something, what are you going to do when the door shuts? What are you going to do when God quits calling? He said, you better come when I call. I thank God tonight. He was merciful to me. I didn't come at every time he called me. But thank God, Bill, he got a hold of me like he did you at night. Broke down like a shotgun there. And God saved me and changed my life. I'm glad tonight I got in before the door was shut. Can you explain this right here to a lot of these millennial preachers and these going on? Honey, when God sent the rain down, they wasn't nothing survived except those on the ark. Everything out there was destroyed. And I'm glad tonight John said this. He said, and I saw the heavens open and a door. And I know what the door is, and you know what the door is. Jesus said, I am the door into the sheepfold. He said, I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no man come to the Father but by me, and except my Father draw him. Well, how does his Father draw him? Through a God-called preacher that's anointed with the Holy Ghost, that lift his voice up like a trumpet, and say, get in before the door shut. Get in before it's everlasting. Too late. We've got all kinds of excuses why we can't come, and we can't do this, and we can't do that. I'll guarantee you tonight, it was daddies and mamas and brothers and sisters banging on the side of that boat. I want me in, and maybe Noah as a man wanted to let him in. But when God shuts the door, there ain't nobody going to open it. And we'll tell you tonight, It's all over the county. Preacher, how's your church doing? How after COVID? Well, a lot of them's quit and ain't coming back. Don't look like. A lot of them just got too many arms in the fire. They can work every day and they can run here and they go to Walmart and the grocery stores and I go to the restaurants and everywhere else. And nobody, I tell you what, no boy, a preacher come up to a boy up at Lowe's last Sunday and he said, what are you doing working on Sunday? You ought to be in church. He said, if it wasn't for people like you coming up here on Sunday, we probably wouldn't have to open. Hey, tonight, hey, some doors that need to be closed on some things. But God help us tonight to realize what doors need to be open. The old song, swing wide the gate. We judge everybody else and run everybody else down. We're a big hypocrite over it as we're blasting everybody else over it. It's honest to God's truth. And on one thing, when God shuts the door, it'll not be open. When God closes her down, it'll stop. I'm 60 years, soon be 61 year old. Would you ever thought, some of us here about my age, would you ever thought to see what we're seeing now in this country? No. More dope right now coming across the borders. Nobody wants, Nobody won't do nothing about it. Just like this right here. You can swap wives, you can do anything you want to. I'm going to preach again.
Yeah.
Swap wives in the church, let everything go on just like nothing's wrong. It's straight out of hell is what it is. Yeah. You, you can't control your own lust. Yeah. It's what's wrong with you. But you know what? I'm just going to stay in the ark.
Yes.
I'm gonna try and keep the door open to the truth.
Yes.
And just say, hey, we gotta go God's way. It don't matter. Well, you hurt your feelings. Well, it's better to hurt your feelings now than stand at the judgment bar of God and say, no, old preacher didn't tell me nothing about it.
Amen.
I want my hands to be clean.
Yes.
And then when I stand before God,
yes,
there'll be a day the door's shut. When the door gets shut, there ain't nobody opening it. I don't care what you tell me. When the fire and the brimstone comes down, like the 150 days of the water, when it comes, I don't know how many days, I mean in a day, in a moment, God, everything going to melt with fervent heat. And Peter said, we're in what we're looking for. We're looking for a new heaven and a new earth. We're in dwelleth right and no sin. Listen, you don't know what I go through. I tell you what you go through. And you go through what Jesus did. After he was baptized, he led up into the wilderness. And there on the, up on the, and put up on a high pinnacle. Do you think tonight, there ain't been a lot of them put me up on a big pinnacle and say, hey, come Christ for us. We got 200 or 300. We'll give you $800 a week to park in the car and drive in. They'll paint you a picture. I'd rather preach off of your stuff and not get it. They want to be where God wants me. But to have all of them.
Richard, praise the Lord.
Took Jesus up on the mountain. Offered him everything. Them hard stones there that he was facing. If you're who you say you are, turn these stones into bread. Thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God. I know one thing tonight, guys. I can get up sometimes, but I can't get down. You wait, pray to God when that horn blows. I'll leave here, pray to God with a shout. Think about it tonight, guys. Noah, no doubt, as a man, can you imagine hearing the screams outside that ark? A lot of people probably know Noah. Noah, we've been your neighbor. Noah, let us in. Honey, when God shuts the door, there ain't nobody can open the door. I'm glad of this. I'm going to come to a close. I'm glad the former things will be done away with. And I don't believe it'll be sadness when we get to heaven. All things will be made new. God painted us picture after picture, guys. Rich man died and he went to hell. The old beggar went to Lazarus and he lay Abraham's bosom. He said, I go help, go send them, tell somebody, tell my brothers. He said, Noah, he said, in your lifetime, you had opportunity, you had a change. He said, there's a great gulf fixed. I can't go and they can't come. I wonder tonight if there ain't people in hell would give everything they ever had or ever would have had if they was a millionaire to trade places with any of us tonight, because we've got hope.
Yes, that's right.
We've got breath. We've got opportunity. Because one of these days, and I don't think it's going to be very long, Jesus is a-coming. And when he comes, Revelation says this, he gives us warnings. Come out of her. What in? Out of what? Out of that false church. Out of that Babylonian, the great whore, as he calls her. Come out of her, my people. Come out of my other. And you'll read on there, I believe in the 18th chapter, I'm sure he said, the voice of the bride and the bridegroom. The bride's Christ, the bridegroom's Christ, the bride's the church. He shall be heard no more at all in her. In what? In the earth. after all the screams was over and the breaths left their bodies, total quietness. When you leave this walk of life, you'll get up just like you go down. You'll either rise clean or you'll rise filthy. God help me to be warned and honor God and reverence God and reverence His house and respect the house of God and do what you can to get people in the ark. Get them in. Sometimes it may take years, Debbie, before you can get them. Sometimes they come pretty quick. Don't give up. Just keep praying. Keep doing what you're doing. On the journey. If you're out there tonight and you're not in, you better get in before the Lord shuts the door. And I wonder tonight if there ain't people out there maybe listening by Facebook or wonder maybe God spoke to you and spoke to you and spoke to you and He ain't speaking to you no more. Don't get in that shape. You feel the Lord tugging at your heart. Repent. Come to Him. Say, Lord, I'm sorry for the way I've lived. I want You in my heart and I want You in my life. And I want You to help me. I want You to help me build a vessel, build an ark for the saving of my family. I'm glad I had some family stayed in, and a lot of us went AWOL. And I'm glad, praise God, I heard the horn blow, the trumpet blow one time, and it was light it sometimes, but sometimes I hear it pretty loud. I'm glad I heard it. One day, Donnie, and I got in. And I ain't never been the same. And by the grace of God, I want to die on the battlefield, telling people about Jesus and how good of a God He is. And He'll save you. He'll put you in that ark. And we'll be like Peter sometime. We'll start down. We'll begin to sing, just say, Lord, save me. Get back up here and get in here. This old ship is iron. She's been beaten. She's been battered. But I guarantee you she's all right. I never forget what Earl Bailey preached down here a few years ago. There ain't nothing wrong with the church. He's got a church that's without spot, without blemish. He gave me a robe one day. Isaiah called it a robe of righteousness. Took red blood, put it on a black heart, give me a white robe. And I even hate the stains that I get on it at times. But when I get stains on it, when I get dirty, when I fail, I say, Lord, forgive me. I'm sorry. I'll try to do better. I hope something's been said to help you, encourage you. You know, it sounds like you're preaching. The message may sound like you're preaching to people that's lost, but I want people to tell me that one of these days the door's gonna be shut. And that, you know what that does? It puts some fear in me. It's reverence in me. And I want to prefer you above myself and honor you and do all I can to help you to stay where you need to be. So we can all go together. That's all I got. Anybody got anything before we pray? I want you to pray for the lost. Pray for them that need the Lord. Pray for them that would just make their mind.